Engineering News, the most widely read publication in biotechnology, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling talks with Dr. Alan Russell from the McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine about tissue engineering.
Dr. Alan Russell is director of the McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine. He also serves as university professor of surgery and has secondary appointments in the departments of chemical engineering, bioengineering, and rehabilitation sciences and technology. In addition, Dr. Russell is the executive director of the Pittsburgh Tissue Engineering Initiative and director of the National Tissue Engineering Center. Dr. Russell, how would you define tissue engineering and regenerative medicine?
So I think tissue engineering and regenerative medicine are clearly related, and some people would believe they are the same thing. In my mind, regenerative medicine is really about understanding how the body heals itself and accelerating that to a clinically relevant timescale for any given organ system or disease tissue. Tissue engineering, in my mind, is the combination of cells and materials to affect a regenerative medicine application or even a diagnostic application. So in my mind, tissue engineering is a tool through which we do regenerative medicine. There are other tools that can enable a regenerative medicine approach. Tissue engineering is perhaps the leading one of those.
I see. Now, sort of leads to the next question. What are some specific therapeutic and diagnostic applications of tissue engineering and regenerative medicine?
So again, if I answer the question in a focused way with tissue engineering first and then talk briefly about regenerative medicine, tissue engineering is perhaps best known therapeutically for the remarkable work of advanced tissue sciences and organogenesis, who brought artificial skin, living skin equivalents, to the market, which were cell-based therapies to replace skin, where skin cells were grown on scaffolds. That's probably a really good example of tissue engineering. There are others, of course, including the engineering of bone, of cartilage, and most recently, and with great media coverage, was the work to grow whole organs done by Tony Atala, where he was growing whole bladders to replace deficient bladders in patients. Again, using a combination of biodegradable materials and cells to seed those materials outside of the body. In regenerative medicine, there are many, many other applications that include the use of either devices or devices plus cells or just cells to have some beneficial therapeutic impact.
I see. Now, looking a little more closely at tissue engineering in terms of actual research areas, what kind of researchers come into this area and what kind of things do they, specifically do to carry out tissue engineering research?
One of the biggest challenges for tissue engineering is that it's such an interdisciplinary field. So there really isn't an area of science or engineering that isn't important. If you imagine the challenge of recreating a heart, you can imagine that just everything is required in order to do that, from every field of engineering to every field of science, biologic science, chemical science, and physical science. So it is incredibly interdisciplinary. That's probably the single biggest challenge in the field. The prime areas of interest in this country, in the U.S., I would say it's driven mainly by the bioengineering community, broad though that is in and of itself, the bioengineering community and the clinical community. In Europe, I would say the balance is a little different, where I'd say that perhaps the dominant community is the life science and the biomaterials community. But over in this country, I think it's probably the bioengineering community that's got the most at stake in tissue engineering.
Now, if you look at the past decade, what have been the major advances that have pushed the field forward?
So over the past decade, people have learned how to isolate the right kinds of cells that when seeded onto biomaterials can enable that biomaterial to develop the form and function of living tissue. understanding how to select those cells, how to culture those cells, and understanding what are the properties of the material that are necessary are key. So what cells and what materials are the two big areas of research over the past decade. In the next decade, the next two big questions are, what is the best way to put the two together outside the body? So what different kinds of bioreactor configurations will be needed in order to train the cells and the material such that when they're put in the body, they do what we want them to do? So we have what cells, what materials, how to configure them ex vivo outside the body, and then finally the last challenge is how to get whatever we make outside the body to integrate into the body. So those are the four key challenges: cells, materials, ex vivo growth, and integration into the body.
Okay, now, regarding the impact of regenerative medicine technology on human health, specifically certain diseases or disorders or malfunctioning systems, what's possible now and what might be possible down the line, say 10, 15, 20 years down the line, as a result of all this research taking place globally in tissue engineering and regenerative medicine research?
So I think the question is quickest answered by talking about dimensions. Today, we can do two-dimensional tissue engineering fairly easily. And by two-dimensional, if you think of the skin, that's a fairly thin two-dimensional tissue. If you think of small tubes, those are simply sheets which are rolled up. If you think of replacing the cornea with a laboratory-grown cornea, that would be a two-dimensional tissue engineering device. If you think even of the bladder, it's really a two-dimensional thing because the bladder, again, is simply a sheet that's been turned into something the shape of a ball, but the wall of the bladder is thin in and of itself. The big challenge, one of the next big challenges in tissue engineering that will take us forward into the future therapeutic applications, will be developing an understanding of how to develop three-dimensional large tissue constructs outside the body in a way that they can be then plumbed in and, as I mentioned before, integrated into the body. I don't like to say that I think that'll happen within 10, 15, or 20 years, but I think it's inevitable that our children's children will reap the benefits.
See, now my final question, can you describe the focus of some of the research programs taking place at the McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine?
So the McGowan Institute is one of the largest clusters of regenerative medicine and tissue engineering researchers in the world. We have approximately 200 faculty that work on almost every aspect. There are particular skill sets in regenerating liver, regenerating the cardiovascular system, regenerating the musculoskeletal system, and we have researchers coming at that from the engineering perspective, the life science perspective, the developmental biology perspective, in an integrated network of researchers who can address almost any problem.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, be sure to visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next Thursday.